Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We're now at episode 33, Global from Asia. And here in South China, it's been drying up after a lot of massive rainstorms and flooding. It's been all over the news, and everything has been wet, the floors, the walls, cars have been floating around and things. We never know what to expect around here. Also, when I was caught in rainstorm when I was coming back from Hong Kong last week, I took some samples from some swimsuits that I got from Europe. A listener here is asking my wife and me to look into selling these in China market, and this is our first sample order. I carried that thing up to ankles of water after I crossed into the China border. So I'm pretty excited about this. And my friend Dustin already was joking with me that he better not see me in thongs on the internet. So it's female swimwear, and hopefully there's going to be some photo shoots and I can share some photos with you guys. If there's any good ones, don't worry about that. Okay, and now for the episode. We have Sunny Wong coming back on the show. He's my accountant there in Hong Kong, and he's always willing to share the real deal about, some of the accounting and other things. The second episode, episode number two, was where we just talked about kind of like basics of opening up a company and filing and things like that. So when I was there picking up the samples from his office, we recorded this show, and I've been thinking about it. And a lot of people always talk about opening a company and things like that, but not much is out there about closing a company or selling and transferring a company. It kind of gets a lot more complicated, and there's not much I can find online about that. So we talked to Sunny about closing or selling a Hong Kong Limited. So let's definitely listen up to this valuable insights. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have my good friend and accountant, Sunny Wong, back on the show. Thanks for being here, Sunny.
Morning, everybody.
Yes, it's a great morning here. We're in his office here in Kowloon, Hong Kong. And I think today's topic, we had on episode two, you were talking about opening a company and filing. I think today would be fun to talk about maybe selling or closing a company. Sometimes actually we don't have much content online about that, more talking about opening companies, but I think this would be an interesting one. Yeah. So thanks for helping here, Sunny. So what should people consider? They have a company maybe for a few years, and maybe they either want to change their business, or someone wants to buy it, or they want to maybe just close it. What are things to first think about?
First of all, for the sellers, when they have a company, they have no business for a long period of time, and they do not want to terminate the name of the company. But if somebody who are interested in the name of the company or some kind of business connection from the company, the buyer may be interested in buying the company at a reasonable price. For the buyer, they will no longer be the owners of the company, and the buyer will consider the values of the assets of the company. On the other hand, on the value of the liability, because this is a very, very important point. Because when the buyer buy the company, they buy the assets and also buy the liability from the original owners, right?
Yeah. So, for listeners, just to recap, there's the assets of a company and the liability of a company. And when you sell or buy that company, the new owner takes over those, and how to value assets and liabilities. So the name of the company you mentioned is valuable. Is it the trademark or just the name of the company or both? Or
yes, so the name of the company represents a reputation, a trademark. Although the trademark may not have already registered, but in the industry concern, the buyer will also interested if this company continue to its operation, the future profit or incomes will be generated to the company as well as in the past periods. So the name of the company usually represents some kind of intangible value. And also for some investors who want to start up the business, it takes time to do so, because to build up the business connection and then some other intangible values. So at this moment, to buy the company and applies what we call a premium over the book values of the company. For some other people, they want they own the name of the company. They think if a company has already in operation for more than 10 years in Hong Kong, it sounds that the bankers we consider that the company has been get its arrival for so a long period of time. So it's at this moment for some particular reason they will want to transfer the company to the successors only. Yeah. So from a number point of view, this kind of transaction, buying and selling an existing company, is quite normal in Hong Kong. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So can you expand about the 10-year? That's something I've never heard before. So that having a trade name for 10 years.
No. The period of 10 years is not actually an important point on its own. But according to the history in the business world in Hong Kong, you know, to form a company is easier. It takes about 10 days to incorporate a company. Of course, it is a private company. In Hong Kong, there are a large group of company survive only for 2 years. And if a company can survive for more than 5 years, it sounds that the business is successful. From the banker's point of view, they will see that if a company can exist more than 5 years, its business is on the way that generate surpluses. So from this kind of view, many people want a company with a history of 3 years, 5 years, or more than that.
Okay. So when we talk about banks, for like getting bank loan or financing?
Yes. Yes, because the banker will know that the company with a large number of years of history operating in a profit position, they will consider the company is in a good track of records. But for the buyer, another what we call risk is that although the asset and the liability are all recorded in the audited accounts of the company, but there may be some kind of hidden liability which was not recorded in the accounts. So this is a dangerous area for the buyer to consider whether there are some kind of hindrance liabilities. If they buy the company, the old owners will transfer all the assets and the liability to the buyers. And also, even though there are some hindrance liability, they will into the company as well.
I got it. That's it. That's interesting. Yeah, I think liabilities is always tricky one.
Yes. Because not every liabilities are recorded in the auditor accounts. Because the director or the owner of the company will not disclose this to the auditors in the audit works. If you say, for example, a company have a number of bank accounts, they sometimes disclose only two or three. If there is an account which considers will maintains a lot of say bank loan or overdraft facility, if the director do not disclose it to the auditors, of course this is a fault. This is some kind of dishonesty behavior, but the auditors cannot check it out. So this is what we call hidden liability to the buyer. So for the buyer to buy the company on this way, it is a profit, but maybe some kind of liabilities. This is really, really dangerous.
From your experience, what are some common or liabilities that might be hidden?
Yes, in a professional point of view, this is called contingent liabilities. If a company acting as a guarantor of another company, the liability, if the director do not disclose this to the auditor, nobody know. Sometimes the debtors was bankrupt. The guarantor will be liable to all the debts of the debtor. And at this moment, the liability will be disclosed. So if a company acting as the guarantor of another company and do not disclose to its auditor, nobody know. Yep.
Got it. So it could also be just like personal liability for like loans?
Loan or bank overdraft or some kind of liability to another third parties.
So just some people listening, just keep in mind to try your best to do your due diligence, right? DD.
Yeah.
And is there any way you could protect yourself if you're the buyer, like in a contract? Or
now, this is an extreme case, right? Sometimes when a buyer will obtain getting the share from the old shareholders, they will obtain a personal undertaking from the old owners to protect there's the bias in case of this kind of events happens. So this is what we call personal undertaking. That means personal guarantee. Yep.
Got it. And so that would be maybe common is in a contract, or what's a normal contract, you know, to sell a buy or sell a company in Hong Kong, did you know?
Well, contracts, you know, when a company may sign the contracts with another parties, the director will act on behalf of the company. The liability is on the capacity of the company, not in the capacity of the directors. The director and the company are two separate legal entities. Mm-hmm. The director is only an agent of the company. If the director acting on behalf of the company act in good faith, with no negligence, director will not be sued for any liabilities, right?
Got it. Okay. And what would be a name of an agreement or a buy-sell contract, or any? What's the name of a contract people could look up?
The contract may be drawn in any form, provided it's legal in Hong Kong. What we call the transfer is there is a price on the values of the shares of the company, and the buyer and the seller will sign these papers. This will signify that they agree on the terms. Sometimes they may have another additional contract regarding the access and other arrangement of the accounts, yeah. The other kinds. They will deal into another separate agreement. Yep.
Got it. Yeah, for like your, say, if you have HSBC, a bank, you then put them as a signer on the account and you would come off of as a signer of that bank account and things like that?
Everything will be transferred.
Yep.
Everything will be transferred. It means the access and the stocks and all the debts, all the outstanding bank loan, outstanding liabilities, all these will be transferred.
I got it. So for those listeners, I'm sure are curious about the taxes of capital gains of selling a company.
There is some kind of what we call stamp duty. Stamp duty. The rate is about 0.1% on the net asset values of the company. Okay. What we call net asset value, the asset minus the liability, the net amount will be charged on the rate of 0.1%.
Okay. Almost zero.
But it all depends. If the company was transferred in a rate at a premium, right? That means at a surplus over the net asset value, the 0.1% will apply on this figure, right? On the greater amounts of the difference of these two figures.
Yep. Got it. So I know when you file a company in Hong Kong, you have to have some share amount and share value. Is that involved in this at all? Or
to me, the share value.
Like, yeah, I think when everybody opens a company, you have like 1,000 shares or 1,000,000 shares or...
Well, there is a recent change in the company law in Hong Kong. In the early of this year, in March of this year, the company law has been amended. There is no authorized capital now. No authorized capital. There is only the issued pay-up capital. That means a company cannot set up a company without the authorized capital at a huge amount, but pay nothing or pay only small amount into the company as the capital they have. So the point is that the company law change at this early of this year will make a lot of people, particularly from the merchants in China, from mainland China, they in the past have got a misunderstanding that if a company with a huge amount of offer capital, it looks good, but now this is not the case because from now on there is no authorized capital required to be mentioned in the articles of association of the company.
Got it. So maybe I'll try to summarize and you correct me if I say it right. So there's the amount of shares when you have like 1,000 shares or 1,000,000 shares, and then there's a capital that you invest.
Yeah.
So then now it doesn't, you don't have to say how much capital you put in new.
Not exactly. No, the point is that if a company issue a particular amount of share capital to an investor, the investor will have to finally to pay into the company the exact amounts of money representing the values of the shares of the company into the company. Otherwise, they will be still liable to pay.
Got it.
For the future.
Yep. Okay, so I don't think I did that, but I think if somebody said that they have a lot, are going to put a lot of money in the company and don't, then they have to when they sell it or close it, right? Is that?
Of course, there's the owners, that means the shareholders, may sell the company at any time they want to have. The point is that the company should have, first of all the money collected from the shareholder first. Yeah. Otherwise, the shareholder cannot transfer its shares to somebody.
Got it. Okay. Okay, great. So we've talked about, we kind of talked about what to prepare, assets and liabilities, capital gains, and then like buyers bidding is kind of like my next point. But to prepare to sell, is there something that you should do if you want to sell in your company, or should they talk to their accountant or something, or audit? Is there something they should prepare when they're looking to sell?
Now, deal with this question in two ways. Now, the first one is that the buyer, if you want to set up a company in Hong Kong, it's a quite easy job. But if they want to buy the company from some other merchants, they will consider, first of all, about their liabilities. So it is advisable for them to buy a company with short history. Or you have to, the buyer should have looked into the audited accounts, whether the book value was fully reflected. For the seller, if they do not want to operate the company now, they have two ways: find another person to buy the company or to terminate the company in a simple way. Now, the first point requires that if the company has no outstanding third-party loans, that means they have no outsiders' liabilities, they can deal with this company in a very simple way, what we call the registration. They will just apply to the government, declaring that they have no outsider liability. So by this way, it takes about a few months, say a period of 3 months, to close the company. Of course, if the company still have assets, the shareholder can draw all the money out from the bank and distribute all the assets to the shareholders. The company will then be closed. And the name of the company can be reused by some other parties, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. So then if your company name is terminated, then how right away someone else the next day could file a company with your company, your old company name?
Yes. Now, if today I have a closed company called ABC Limited, another person can reopen it using the same name tomorrow, tomorrow.
Wow, that's pretty. I don't know how it works in the US, but I feel like it would take longer, but that's pretty fast. Interesting. So then basically, if you just want to close the company, terminate the company, you have to declare you have no outside liabilities?
Yes. This is the only point required. Of course, the company has already paid all the tax liability to the governments.
Yeah.
Pay all the wages to the employees. And then they have also maintained a good record without any other liabilities.
Yeah. Got it. So like, you mean like there's always the yearly fee and then your yearly audit?
No, at this time, the company will not have to do the accounting. Mm. Accounting or the auditing works, because the company has no business and they have already applied to the government to request for the registration. So at this moment, the company do not have to pay any extra costs on what we call the government's auditing requirements or the government filings. No.
Okay, so say, just to make sure I'm right, say it's you filed your yearly fee 11 months ago, and then next month it's going to be due.
Yes.
You can close this and not pay in the next month.
Yes, okay. Yes. Once you submit the application form.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Asset sale versus a full stock sale. I wanted to bring that up. For those listeners that don't know, an asset sale means basically selling maybe your website or your IP or your property, but not selling the company limited. A stock sale means sell everything, assets and liabilities and IP. So can you maybe explain the difference or how that would work?
Yes. For some kind of investors, we have considered to buy a company and also the investor can consider to buy the assets of the company. Say maybe it's properties, it's house, it's equipments, or even their websites. This is a separate deal. The investor, the buyer, is only buy the individual items of the assets of the company. It's not to buy the shares of the company. This is not a share transfer transaction. This is only a normal business, buy and sell. Yeah.
So then an asset sale is just a private contract that they buy this asset and for this price and I transfer it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then a stock sale is what I guess this show is all about. If you just do an asset sale, I guess you don't really need to do a lot, any of the extra filing.
No. Then, no need to do some kind of filings. This is only a purely is a commercial deal.
So I guess then the question that I have is, do you advise, I guess I don't mean might not give advice, but maybe some listeners would think maybe I just sell my assets if I don't have liabilities and I just terminate my company.
Yes. Both parties can consider to deal in this way. Mm-hmm. But when the investors is only buy the assets of the company, the investor is not buy the brand name, the reputation of the company. Because the company is still owned by the old shareholders, right? So the investor is just buy in the assets of the company, not by the reputation of the company. This is another important point.
Yep, that's a good point. Just other questions or points. So they could also sell the assets, keep the company, change the company name.
Yes, exactly. The shareholders can change, if they want to change the business nature and to start another kind of business, it's more appropriate for them to, you know, to change to another name to reflect their change of business nature.
Yeah. And then we're getting into some details here, but I just thought they'd be... So sometimes an asset could be a loss from previous years, right? So say the company lost money.
Yeah.
And then you could sell that as an asset if you lost money last year and that could be...
And the point is that this should be calculated on an accumulated basis. For example, a company may have a history of 10 years. For the first 3 years, they incur a loss. But for the years later on, they generate lots of profits. What we call is the profit position at this moment on the accumulated basis.
Got it. So do you have any other points? Those are my points, but maybe you, is there any other advice or points to share about this type of a transaction or deal?
The final as a recommendation for the investor is that what we have talking about is on the private company group, not listed company. So when an investor want to start their business, in Hong Kong, it's quite easy. It is advisable for them to buy the company with only short histories, 1 or 2 years, and the shareholders provide their personal guarantee to the investor and declaring that the company has no liabilities. And also, if the name of the company is not so important, it is advisable for the investor to open their company individually, not to buy the shares. Now, okay. If the point is that if the name of the company is not at what we call a maintain a good value.
And from my experience, I think you might agree, sometimes the company name is just like, Spring Garden Limited, but their assets are a lot of times different brands, right? So I think a lot of companies in Hong Kong are just kind of like holding companies and the brands are actually not really the name of the company. Is that? That's kind of, I think, the trend, right? So then maybe an investor or a buyer might just think to buy the assets or to close a company, start a new company.
Sometimes for a group of a group company, they may maintain a parent company, subsidiary, or associates. The subsidiary or associate company is the asset of the parent company. Sometimes the parent company may decide to sell or sell part of the shares of the subsidiary to some other investors. No, basically, there's no problem. The investor may, of course, have their own judgment whether the value of the share is reasonable or not. They may have their own concerns because the subsidiaries, if this subsidiary company has been operating for many years, the value, of course, is generated. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Sunny. I really learned a lot just now, and I'm I really appreciate you sharing with us.
Yes, it doesn't matter. But we'll hope that we can conduct another shows.
Yeah, of course. We'll get you back on the show more. And thanks. And we'll put your contact information on the show notes so
okay,
people
no problem,
can.
Mom. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sonny. And, closing and selling a company is something, we don't hear about a lot and it's really complicated. So I hope that this helped people understand the process a little bit more. Even I definitely learned a lot from that today. I've had a lot of dealings in opening and closing companies, transferring and selling companies all around the world. My first business I started was when I was doing eBay in the US and working still in New York City. It was 2004. And I remember I had no idea, no clue how to open up a company. I couldn't find anything online. And I went to a SCORE. It was like retired executives. And he told me I had to immediately start a company because I was already selling on eBay and selling online. And I had to have a company. So I was in New York City at the City Hall. I was on my lunch break. And I went across the street to the county clerk's office, went down to the basement where their company registration was, and opened up a general partnership with my roommate. And, obviously I learned that was a mistake. You have city tax in New York, you have state tax in New York, you have U.S. federal tax, and there was just a lot of filing. I learned in 2005 to open up one in New Jersey, right across the river, to open up a limited company. Actually, it was a C corporation, and it was really hard to close my New York company. I closed it, and I didn't fill out some kind of form because I didn't file sales tax for a quarter when I wasn't even operating. And then they sent me these scary bills in the mail that I was past due, and I had to get on phone and calls. So, stuff like this, just you don't find out much news online and not many people talking about it. So hopefully this episode was interesting, and I really like people's feedback. So if people give me some ideas of other episodes, we got a lot of stuff coming up. I already recorded a bunch of interviews, so don't worry about that. But, I just kind of want some ideas if this was interesting or not. Maybe a little bit too dry or what. So any feedback is appreciated, guys, and catch you next week.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.